It's Bud Pod 263.
Who fixed thee? Who fixed thee?
Who fixed thee? 'Twas the Lord thine God. That sounds like
otherwise
a religious
known
thing.
As please tell us the name and location of your GP. Who fixes thee? That's a question on the old forms.
Yes.
When you had to apply for health insurance or whatever. Who fixed thee last?
Okay, and before we can give you this prescription, who fixes thee? I'm sorry. Who bist thine local apothecary? Eh? Who fixes thee?
Your general apothecarist.
Yes.
Apothecarist? What would the word be?
Apothecary, I suppose.
Apothecary. The person would also be called apothecary.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Koji to all. And Koji to... I got a cool Koji in East London, Pierre, on the weekend.
Koji from a mustache?
I think he at least was... Did he... He had at least one of the cool trifecta of, like, woolen hat, facial hair.
Yeah.
Tortoiseshell glasses.
Ooh, yeah.
One of them. I can't remember which one he had. But he's a cool guy. I was coming out of a sample sale in East London, Pierre. The coolest thing you can do.
That is the coolest thing available.
And I think maybe he was going in.
What samples did you buy?
Oh, I bought an I got an amazing bunch of clothes, Pierre.
Hey.
And they did. And the gal at the desk did me a deal. She did. She did me a deal.
Whoa.
I went with my girlfriend and we went around trying on stuff, mostly for me. And yeah, the optics were not particularly good at one point because my girlfriend was just sort of holding like the stack of clothes while I
she can now say XPs. Boyfriends be shopping.
But yes, she can.
She can do boys a routine.
But boys be shopping, and as I was shopping in the most boy way, which is, you know, when a boy finds his one or two brands.
Yeah.
That he loves. And so this is a sample sale where conveniently for me, my two brands seem to be friends with each other and do sample sales together.
Oh, okay.
And so I just have to go to one warehouse in East London to go through.
Now, are these... Because you're a big fella. You're a tall chap.
Yeah. Yes.
That's for sure. How easily are you finding stuff that fits you? Because I'm a slightly bigger fella than you, but we're still both bigger than the average British chap.
It is true. And yeah, when I first arrived, the first section of the warehouse was clothes for little dolls, as far as I could see. I think all the lads had been at it and had cleaned the place dry. All the soft boys in London had beaten me to them.
Yeah.
And
all
I
the
thought,
hulking, rippled soft boys have been in here.
And I thought, oh God, I've got all this cash now. Because it was a cash only sale. So you had to get cash out and just kind of guess how much you might buy.
Oh, right.
And then now I was faced with the prospect of having had a bunch of cash that is unusable in today's world except from a sample sale and coming away with nothing. But then I found the second half of the warehouse was replete with XLs and Ls and XXLs.
Really?
And I did extremely well, Pierre. I did extremely well.
I need to... I keep away from all of these things, like Frankenstein from a flaming torch sale. Because... Because I'm so sure that there's just going to be nothing there for me. Because, like, I can't even buy fucking shoes. And my shoe size is the maximum of the commercially available. It's 12. But I walk into a shoe shop, I see a cool shoe. It's got a cool little thing on it. And I say, oh, that, I wish I was interesting, like someone who wore those.
Mm.
And I say to them, do you have these in 12? And they go, oh, no, we can try. We can send a parchment to the headquarters by eagle. It will take several months, but we can, for you, we can try. And I just go, I want to buy it now or never again. And I just leave.
Yeah. Yeah, being a 12 size man is, I go into a shoe shop and I just say, I don't even look at the shoes anymore. I say, what do you have in 12?
Yes. Exactly.
I asked someone at a shoe shop why there was never any 12s. And she basically said that they buy sizes according to a normal distribution.
Yeah.
And so they'll buy a load of 10s, a load of 9s or whatever, and then tapering off fewer 11s and then even fewer 12s.
Yeah.
And all you need is two guys who are size 12 to come in, and that's all the 12s gone.
Yeah. Life on the bell curve.
I live life on the edge of the bell curve.
I live life on the edge, baby, of the bell curve. I'm 5 feet tall with size 20 feet. I'm shaped like a capital L. Yeah, I like this character.
I am as wide as I am tall. It's hard to shop as hell. I live life on the edge of the bell curve. It's very impossible to shop.
Yeah. I'm illiterate with 150 IQ. Wow. This guy's on either side of every bell curve somehow. Oh, wow. So there's hope for me. Is this what I'm learning?
I mean, that said, I think maybe there'd be one piece that would fit you.
Yeah, see?
I think. Good. You're even further on the off the edge of the bell curve.
Good news about clothing like this, Phil, is like a popular toilet. There's always a butt.
But I took this stack of clothes to the lady at the desk, and she gave me an even better deal than the sample sale offered in the first place, and I was so thrilled. I've got a bunch of lovely clothes. I like my clothes now. I'm a clothes boy now.
This is your dream day out.
I love my clothes. It was a wonderful day out, and we had noodles for lunch.
Whoa,
it was
okay.
A great day out.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm struggling to think of anything that I could add. If I was like, a Morgan Freeman style god figure in a white suit.
Yeah.
What would I add to your day?
And I had dinner with a nice glass of wine.
Okay, that takes care of one of my suggestions.
Yeah. Did I get any video gaming in? Did I get to watch any classic professional wrestling clips? That would have all added. Did I get to potter around the house doing easy chores while listening to centrist podcasts about the culture wars? If it had any of those elements also been in place, then it would have further sealed its status as a perfect day.
You get an email. It's an apology from your credit card company, and they've been under-rewarding you points of some kind. And you get another 1,000 or whatever points.
And they're especially useless.
Yes. There are 1,000 points, and they can get you like 90% off any ferry journey. Any ferry journey you want. It's yours.
Yeah, on the western coast of Canada only.
Or even just
yes!
Something like Newcastle to Oslo. And you go, it's a sort of 30-hour ferry across the North
Sea. And I'd have to get to Newcastle.
Yeah.
Which is actually longer than the flight to Oslo, probably.
Yes, and probably more expensive on the train.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a good day. It was a great day. Do you enjoy shopping for things or buying things that you used to hate shopping or buying for?
It depends. At the moment, I wouldn't, because I'm out of shape in the moment. I'm stronger than ever, but I'm out of shape.
Well, I mean, not necessarily clothes. Then is there some?
Yeah.
Is there
sometimes
a purchase
clothes
you particularly enjoy in your 30s now, or like I love. I don't know. I love buying like a new tub of hand soap or just something that will get used. I love buying something that will get used. It's my favorite thing.
Yes. I'm trying to think. What is there that I'm a lot happier with bits and pieces of DIY.
Ah, as in doing it.
Doing it and the equipment I like more. I like little tools.
That's very good.
Yeah.
That's very, beneficial. I'm not there, I'm afraid.
Although...
I buy tools as I need them and then never use them again.
I've been practicing... I've been having to practice radical acceptance, Phil, because I had to replace the handles on my wardrobe doors. And these are like bar handles. And I thought, I'm going to do this myself. I'm going to get a metal ruler out and a measuring thing and my little pencil, and I'm going to drill the holes through this door, and I'm going to do it myself. And a couple of them are about a millimeter off in the angle, and I can see it. No one else see it unless I showed them. But a couple of them are just like 89 degrees instead of 90, if you see what I mean.
Yes, of course.
And I just had to look at it and go, like everything in me is screaming to just burn the door down and buy a new door or just leave the country. And in my head, I'm having to say, it's interesting.
It's what makes it yours, Pierre.
I have learned a lesson, and it's interesting. And so I managed to try and not freak out about that. What else do I like buying? I don't like trying stuff on in shops. I start immediately pouring sweat like a pig.
Yeah.
When I try on clothes, and I don't know what it is. It's like a stress reaction. I'm not even warm, I don't think. I'm just sweating.
You're putting yourself into an alien space.
Yeah, and it feels
when you try on clothes. You're putting yourself into a foreign space, Pierre.
Yeah, it feels like I'm trying on jeans, and if the jeans don't fit nicely enough, the guy waiting outside is going to shoot me in the head.
Yeah.
That's the level of sweating I'm doing. It's completely inappropriate.
It is one of the few times where I feel like I'm doing an impression of a human being.
Yeah.
When I'm trying on clothes.
Like you're being observed from space. Da, da, da.
Yeah, yeah. It's a rare private public experience, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're trying on clothes in private, in public. And
yes.
When you're in private, in public, you observe yourselves very intensely. Like when you go to a polling station and you go into the little voting booth, for that moment, you're observing yourself so intensely, I think.
I think that's right. And I what I don't like, and I've just written this down because I think maybe I could do a routine about this. I don't like having to leave the fitting room with clothes over my arm and then go to the sort of middle-aged lady with her name tag and say, thank you, just this. I'm too fat for these other ones. Thank you. Thank you. You see this big pile of clothes? My body is too odd for these. Yes? Too fat? This one I will have. You need to put these back for people who are less fat than me. Thank you very much.
May I recommend you instead say, I'll take these. These, however, cannot contain me. That sounds way better. That sounds like you are too much of the clothes. Like they don't deserve you.
Yes.
These cannot contain me.
Sorry, these cannot contain my might? I would love to wear these, but they cannot contain my might. Do you have any larger ones capable of containing my might?
I think that is among the most I ever feel like a sort of Roman emperor, is when I hand the rejected clothes back. Because they always want them back. They always say, please hand them, don't put them back yourself.
No.
We want them. Which is a bit, I don't really understand why. I guess they want to be
We want to make sure
properly.
You haven't pooed in them or something. Yeah. I don't feel like, it's interesting. That's the difference between us. You feel like a Roman emperor. I feel like I failed an exam.
Right, no.
I feel like...
I'm like, get rid of these. They're not worthy.
I feel like the jeans are like pieces of paper from an exam, and I'm just leaving the exam hall an hour earlier than everyone else and handing it to the invigilator and saying, I did what I could. I'm sorry. And then just I leave. And I never get my degree. I've gone.
So do you feel a pressure to be smaller, Pierre? Do you feel like you should be smaller?
I just need to be a shape that exists more often. That's what I need to be. At the moment, I'm a shape that exists very rarely. And I need to be a shape that exists more often. And also, I need to find some way of getting clothes for thighs. My thighs are the biggest obstacle to joy in my life in terms of clothes. The shoe size, I can buy shoes online, but there's no, I don't know, you go thighs.com. I had some luck once buying swimming shorts from a swimming shorts company started by a rugby player. Yeah. And that worked out okay. But the trouble is that when people have a big waist, they assume you have a big fat belly and little skinny legs like the guys you see in Wetherspoons.
Those guys always have that shirt with the bird on the left breast. What is that little, like the little yellow bird?
Oh.
And it's mid-flight.
Oh,
what is that brand?
And they've got the build of Dr. Robotnik.
Polo shirts. Yes.
They're like an egg with these they're an egg with sticks coming out.
They wear polo shirts from Farah. What's the one with the sort of sort of olive branch kind of semicircle. What's that one called?
Yes, it looks like a kind of Roman victory wreath.
That's it. What the fuck's it called? It's got a fella's name, Tommy Sands or something. What is it?
Hilfiger.
No. So is that it's Farah, the Olympic wreath one?
Yeah.
Or this one with the yellow bird?
Yes, those tend to be the winners, don't they? That's true.
These are the fat guy polo shirt brands.
I think I don't feel a pressure to be smaller because, Phil, as you know from being a participant in our wine and weightlifting group chat that we're in.
Oh, yes.
As you know, I'm mightier than ever. Frederick Pererick.
And the yellow bird one is Lyle and Scott.
Oh, I've never...
They've got a Lyle and Scott top.
Yeah,
those
okay.
big boys. Here's a question for you, Pierre. Considering your thigh problems, when you're at the gym doing weightlifting, doing squats,
yeah,
making your thighs potentially bigger, is part of you thinking, why am I doing this?
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm making a thigh for my own back here. I'm making a big meaty thigh for my own back. This is terrible. And yet I must continue. I must be stronger every day.
What's the original version of that phrase?
Rod for my own back.
A rod for my own back.
Yeah, yeah.
A thigh for my own back.
I'm making a thigh for my own back. Yes, that's true. But if I'm going to have big thighs, they should be strong thighs.
Right, fair enough.
I think when you're as wide as I am as a person, you have to be strong or fat. You can't ever be thin. You're too wide.
Yeah, and it's just not in your genetics.
It's not in my genetics to be thin.
Programmed that way.
Also, if I was thin, I would look so terrible compared to someone whose body was actually narrow, like David Bowie or Stephen Merchant.
That's it. You should look the way you're meant to look.
You look the way you're meant to look. From the food that you eat to the food that you cook.
Nice. Like in my case, my father's half Karazandusun, which is like native.
Yeah.
You know, it's similar to the Polynesians. It's an Austronesian race of people. And they all have that kind of Polynesian Pacific kind of
big fellas.
Stoutness, wideness. Yeah, they're chunky people. And like you can't escape that if that's in your genes, really.
That's it. It's about optimizing. Well, it's a cliche, but you play the hand you're dealt, don't you? You play the hand you're dealt. There's a kind of a window where you can slightly affect it between what, like 10 and 18, I suppose. But beyond that, you are what you are, and you do what you can with that. And there's plenty of people with classically perfect body shapes that look terrible.
Oh, do you think?
Definitely. They don't know how to dress for themselves. They don't know what their own vibe is. They've got the colors all wrong. It's very possible to fuck up a lucky hand. Absolutely.
It's true.
Whereas you look at Philip Seymour Hoffman, an objectively odd-looking man. He always looked great.
He did. He had that. Yeah, he had a great look to him, didn't he?
He just looked great.
He carried himself with such a swagger.
He carried himself well. He chose the right clothes and the right colors and the right combos, and that was all it took. And everyone loves him and loved him, and that's all it took. So yes, I'm going to at some point, Phil, over the next few months, my goal is to try and somehow shrink a bit in size, but not in might.
Yes, very good.
We'll see. I'll let you know in the old way. I wasn't joking earlier, by the way, listeners, about the wine and weightlifting group.
Yes, well, our group was a wine and food group, and then the floodgates have opened on bodybuilding chat. It's yeah. I didn't see us taking this direction. It's odd. It's surprising.
I've learned from that chat that I never want to do CrossFit. It sounds fucking horrible.
Ugh, I've done soft CrossFit-y things, and it is so hard, and you're doing it in front of other people, and my stamina's so bad that I just start. I mean, it's better now, but I just start falling apart, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, I can't... I don't, maybe when I'm fitter... I mean, the plan is, like, I have to spend a lot of money on a personal trainer to get me to the point where I can spend less money in a bigger class when I won't embarrass myself because I'm fitter, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah, that's the... Yeah, it's hard. It's really hard. And I mean, we've got time.
That's it.
I'm always amazed by people who stay in shape with busy days.
I know. But they go to the gym at like 5 a.m. and shit.
Oh, yeah.
Them sort of Deloitte working type people.
Yeah, their lives are so structured. I do envy that. They always know where they're going to be and when.
Woof, woof, woof.
Phil, in separate news, I have an exciting revelation to share with you.
Hmm.
I think I figured out the whole Taylor Swift thing.
Oh, yeah. What is the conundrum? Which specific one?
So, obviously, I'm not saying that, you know, she doesn't deserve to be a very popular, famous person. It's just that, like, I was always wondering, well, why her to this level?
Yes, okay, yeah.
Because it's a level of cult love that you kind of don't get anymore.
Well, it's cult mainstream.
It's got
the feel of a cult following, but she's also surely by numbers the most popular musician in the world.
That's exactly it. It's a depth of feeling and regard that is normally reserved for someone with, you know, 100,000 fans.
Mm.
And it's at a global level. So I was looking at it going, well, why this though? Why? Because there's plenty of female singer-songwriters. There's plenty of, you know...
Mm-hmm.
Or even, like, there's no male equivalent either. No one is analyzing lyrics and obsessing over a single male singer to the same degree at all.
Men in general don't seek introspection.
Or
emotional representation.
Yeah.
And those who do, like, dare I say, you and I, we have our The Nationals. We have our LCD sound systems.
Yeah. But
and these are about as big a name as you can get in the emotional male music space. But even they on the global scale are niche cult bands.
Yeah, and also but they used to be like Bob Dylan and stuff. They used to be a bit more kind of one weird guy who writes all his own stuff.
Yes,
and you don't get it as much. Anyway, so I've always said, you know, my girlfriend loves Taylor Swift because she is a woman who is alive. And so, of course, she must. But I've always said, like, what is it, though? What is it about this or this? I've always tried to, like, an anthropologist, Phil, in the jungle.
Yeah.
You know,
it is kind of how I think about, say, Starbucks. Because I go, it's coffee. Why is this coffee everywhere and extremely famous and popular because it's coffee? What did it do to beat out its competition? Nothing against it, but in a similar way, what did Taylor Swift do? And with questions like, say, Starbucks, it's usually more to do with the timing, when it was brought to market, the
customer service.
Customer service, pricing, image, and hitting and being the right price point for the product, and maybe it, to an extent, like maybe to a degree, Taylor Swift is emotionally cogent for the most number of people at once.
Yeah, I think that's like, part of it.
Mm.
So I was asking my girlfriend and other people about it who I know who like Taylor Swift, and know there'll be people who like Taylor Swift listening to us talk about it that will be as upset as the people who like football when we talk about football.
Yeah.
So, you know, she was writing songs about being heartbroken and, you know, 20 when a very, very high number of women were 20. And so they've like part of it is that they've all grown up together, right? So she's yeah. always doing the anthemic music for your life at that moment.
Right.
For a really big number of people. So that's really kind of perfect timing. Brackets, we're saying all this, listeners, with the caveat that, yes, she's very talented. Yes, she's very good. That's we're going to treat that as read.
Hmm.
We're going to cover over that because, you know, it's not enough to just be talented.
She's also extremely smart and very savvy.
She's very savvy with her marketing. But what I realized was different was that I saw people sharing memes with the new Taylor Swift albums, and they were saying, oh, Taylor Swift fans right after the album gets released. And it was all like, you know, detectives with magnifying glasses.
Yeah.
And all the stuff on Twitter is about, is this lyric about this ex-boyfriend, you know? Mm. And oh, this lyric must be about when we saw that photo of them in the park fighting with ice creams or whatever the fuck. Like, it's forensically reconstructing a timeline and like life events. And it came to me, Phil. Taylor Swift is also a reality show.
Ah, yes.
And because she writes about her own life, imagine a one-woman reality show where they also release songs that contain cryptic clues to juicy bits of the reality show. It's the most incredible combination of things.
Because it's because it's also a true crime podcast.
Yes.
She's created the most female millennial product imaginable.
True crime, gossip, being sad. It's all there. But yeah, you can. You're saying to someone, I'm not only going to represent you emotionally and be good at singing and be good at writing and be good at music, I'm also going to let you have a kind of gossip relationship with my private life, which is also interesting and involves other celebrities you like. And my songs are going to have fun little riddles that I put in them, and you can sit and work out the riddles while you listen.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because even with other famous female pop stars, I don't see anyone giving a fuck about, was this the public toilet where she dropped her phone? You know, it's...
You're right. It's because she started off as a teenage country music star.
Yeah.
Who was singing about her issues then and has sort of, like you say, grown up and sung about basically the same issues, but with with increasingly famous men.
Yes, and a different age perspective.
Yes, yes.
And also a level of slightly...
But a criticism I've heard is that... Her subject matter is starting to sound juvenile for the age she's at.
Oh, interesting.
And she's sort of still singing about... Well, it's hard to, from my perspective, take much interest in heartbreak over clearly terrible men. I mean, one of these people is Matty Healy or whatever his name
That's
is.
That's funny, yeah.
Just an obvious asshole. And I guess it's always fun to hear about an asshole, but I'm not going to... I don't see why it's heart-wrenching. It's...
Yeah.
For me, all the songs have the subtext of... I should have known, I guess, but I did it again. Anyway, listen to how it happened this time.
I did it again is a really funny... That's really funny. Yeah, I see what you mean, because like sometimes it's hard not to take that attitude, even with your own friends.
Hmm.
When they're like, hey, you know that terrifying, sort of very sketchy, compulsive liar? Well, I went out with them for a while. And you go, oh, come on, man. Like, don't do that.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to talk you through this whole thing when it goes wrong. But girls do like to talk people through this whole thing when it goes wrong. And they do like sometimes to have a dramatic fling with an obviously terrible man.
And I guess there's also something to seeing
and it's vicarious. You don't have to fuck Matty Healy. I did it for you.
Right, yeah.
And here's a song about what that experience was like.
Yeah, I guess there's also something validating about seeing someone who is very successful and talented and smart go through the same heartbreaks and make the same mistakes that anyone else would or that you would.
Yes,
I guess that's that can be comforting.
And to be as sort of like this some lyric where she talks about tracking her ex-boyfriend's location on, like, you know, Find My Friends or whatever. You know, you can see where people are on your phone. Uh-huh. And a whole song lyric about, oh, I saw you go back into your favorite pub and because you hadn't turned off that thing, even though we don't go out anymore. And I was like stalking your location. And it's, I think part of it is also like, wow, that's the kind of sort of, I can't help myself online detective behavior that most people have. Most ladies, dare we say it?
Right, right. Yeah, maybe.
So it's like, you're Taylor Swift and you're like a billionaire and whatever. And even you can be this torn up over a weird man.
I have one friend on Find My Friends or whatever, and I keep forgetting he's on there. And it's from ages ago when we used to hang out a lot. We don't hang out much anymore. But I just know that anytime I want to, I can know where he is. It's quite weird. It's really weird.
That is weird. Have you ever seen him somewhere weird? Buckingham Palace. What?
Yeah. The Pentagon. What?
He's at the Pentagon, and then really, really quickly, he's in Buckingham Palace. You go, oh, that's. What does that mean?
And then CERN. He's like, oh, wow. Okay.
He's in CERN, and he's spinning really quickly, and you go, uh oh. He got locked in the collider. Uh oh. I better ring CERN. Well, talking, Phil, of smashing detritus together and seeing what flies out. Let's do some correspondence.
Very good. Yes, let's.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ring letters, emails, phone numbers, correspondence.
Oh, it's a message.
Fire up the correspondence accelerator and accelerate them right into our ears.
That's it. CERN, correspondence emerging regularly. From knobheads. I don't know. I ran out of imagination there. I don't know. I can't tell if this person wants me to say their name at the end or not. So I'll just read it.
Okay.
Hello, Philippity Gibbet and Pierre Rittle Prattle.
Okay.
Pierre Rittle Prattle.
Philippity Gibbet. Yep.
I write that terrible advertising poo that you talk of.
We have an originator of the wackaging, of the Together We Joy, of the grammatic nightmares that are modern adverts.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh.
Writing wankily.
I can see why they've kept their name secret.
Well, this is it. Writing wankily about whiskey, customer service software, and how fun cars are.
How fun cars are.
It's funny to stand in front of a car gesturing with both hands saying, isn't this fun? Look how
this
fun
this is.
This
one's really fun. This one's fun to drive.
Not like every other car you've ever driven. The ones where the wheel is a big knife and it hurts to grab it. This is a fun car. All of your advertising and marketing chat is slowly existentially killing me from the inside. Like loads of tiny paper cuts. At least Bill Hicks went for the short, sharp shock of suggesting my self-immolation.
Yes. Yeah.
And, ... you're totally right about everything.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Was that so hard?
There. There. See how easy that was?
See? Everyone listening? Was that so hard to admit that
and
we're totally...
everyone in my life who isn't listening? Yes. Was that so hard?
Exactly. Friends, family, acquaintances, was that so hard to just say, you're totally right about everything, and your Taylor Swift theory is clever and insightful and not just a kind of rickety ship built on stereotypes. And you're totally right about everything. Just to say I'm sorry, please keep up the good work, destroying my work.
Oh, good.
Koji, thank you very much.
Anonymous. Well, it's good to know that... we had Anonymous's number, so to speak.
Yeah. So this is an email titled Marriage Bribe Tat.
Marriage Bribe. Bride or bribe?
Bribe.
Okay.
But good point, actually. That is confusing. I hadn't thought of that. Greetings, Ploppenshots.
So what's that play on?
I think it's just, they just say shortened version of Plopple and Sharty.
Oh, okay.
I happened upon this tat, which by some godforsaken mystery was advertised to me on Instagram. I just wanted your thoughts on what's really going on here. So I'll read you the tat. Oh, what I'm thinking, what bits to blank out here? Oh, okay. I know what I'll blank out. This is the tat. So it's a little board hanging on a bit of string.
Okay.
And it says, Daddy.
Ooh.
Yeah. Daddy, it's time to give Mummy our blank blank.
Ugh.
Yeah. Daddy and Mummy are written in curly-whirly letters and the rest is in copperplate Gothic.
Is this actually from the kids, or is the implication that Mummy wrote this?
Ooh, that's interesting. I think it's notionally from the kids, but now that you've said that, okay. I could see a world in which it's a passive-aggressive way for Mummy to say this.
Okay. Daddy.
Daddy, it's time to give Mummy her, you know.
It's time to give Mummy her blank blank.
Our blank her, blank.
Oh, time to give Mummy our blank blank.
Yeah, so it's multiple children of Daddy.
Our.
Yeah, our.
Best wishes. Daddy, it's time to give Mummy our best wishes.
Daddy, it's time to give Mummy our best wishes.
Terrifying.
That's a little kid who's convinced their dad to kill their mum. Don't, like, they're patting a gun, a shotgun. Daddy, don't you think it's time to give Mummy our best wishes? Yes, you are right. Like the Children of the Corn or whatever, the Kids of the Glowing Eyes, Midwich Cuckoos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm. Daddy, it's time to give Mummy our kisses and cuddles.
it's to do with So think about the subject line as a clue. Marriage bribe tat.
But presumably they're married if they have children, unless these are bastards we're talking about.
It is bastard tat. It is tat
wow,
from a bastard.
Wow, our first ever bastard tat. Okay, Daddy, it's time to give Mummy our wedding ring.
Yes.
Our special day.
Yes, think about the consequences of a traditional marriage. What would happen? What would happen to Mummy? What would happen to Mummy?
Oh, Daddy's time to give Mummy our family name.
Our last name. You got
our
it.
Our last name.
Ooh,
I hate that.
It's terrible, isn't it? Daddy, it's time to give Mummy our last name. What? Get out of my study.
And why is that up? That's something to be put up for a long period of time.
That's a good point. Where do you hang that to sort of like put pressure on Daddy every day for a few months?
Daddy wakes up to see it pinned to the ceiling above his bed.
And that's not enough just to see it once. He has to see it every day for a few months to think, you know what? The children are right. It is time to give Mummy our last name. It's true. It should be an invite, not a daily reminder. That is odd. So
these children are either bastards or the children of divorce, is the implication.
I suppose in the nicest...
This is a second wife.
Yeah, in the nicest interpretation, it is a kid with an unmarried stepmom situation.
Mm.
So they aren't your mum, but you call them Mummy, I suppose. And you love them very much and you want your parents to get married. And so you buy a wooden sign and hang it on a fucking door like Luther. Like Martin Luther. It's still a very passive-aggressive, cutesy-bootsy way of suggesting quite a serious life change. Very odd. The email continues, just wanted your thoughts on what's really going on here. This is obviously marketed at the mum buying this, quote, on behalf of the children. And presumably the children are young enough to still be calling their parents mummy and daddy. Sickened and intrigued from Hales Owen.
Oh, as we are as well, sickened and intrigued.
Yes, and also like...
So what is peculiar about this is that it's tact, which is very sort of normative, Hun basic.
Yeah.
Normal, regular. We're talking straight in the middle of the bell curve.
Yes.
Right? People who buy tact.
Normal people.
But it's tact for a family situation that I would say is on the edge of the bell curve, which is sort of having children before marriage in a kind of my partner kind of way, my partner family, right?
That's
and
true.
That, which puts me in mind of a hip young couple, an artistic couple who live in Forest Hill or something like this.
But see, this...
Who don't buy tat, especially not tat with cursive writing of mummy and daddy.
But see, Phil, this is your London-centric bias.
Ah.
And also your kind of liberal elite bias, because...
My tofu-eating woke-arati.
The BBC lovies. Exactly, because I think if you go to the rest of the country, there's a lot of situations where it's either kids outside of marriage or divorced or like had a kid very young, or and there's a lot of there's a lot of Huns out there, Phil, in this scenario. Think about all
I
the Huns.
I see what you're saying. I see.
So you could be a Hun with an ex-husband from when you were in your youth, your early 20s maybe, and now you're a Hun who's in her homemaking era, you know? You're 30.
Yeah, I'm feeling this is more stepmom than bastard territory.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
You're always dividing the world into those two.
Your family's either stepmom family or bastard family.
Yeah.
And if you don't know anyone with that family, you're the family. I don't know.
You're both.
You're both.
Tag yourself. I'm bastard.
I'm bastard coded.
I'm bastard coded. Tag yourself. This tat is so bastard coded. Yeah.
Being born out of wedlock is so bastard code.
Yeah, exactly. Vying for the throne is bastard coded. Yeah. Oh man. Yeah, where would you hang it though?
Dining area, dinner table in a gazebo.
But it would have to be somewhere where the dad is seeing it a lot. And as you say, wouldn't you just capitulate? Because by not capitulating, you're creating such an ugly scenario. The sign is such a cursed object, isn't it? Because you're sort of saying,
yes,
I'm going to hang this sign up. And if it doesn't work within, let's say, what, 3 days? It's going to be a haunting, nagging sign that is...
The only application situation I see it making any kind of sense is sort of a child initiated parent trap style
yeah.
demonstration of, you know, they've set up some balloons.
Yes.
And some ribbons, and they've laid down a little path from Dad's man cave into the living room, and they set up a little display appealing to Dad to get married to Mom so they can have a stepmom. And part of this display is this wooden sign that says, "Daddy, it's time to give Mommy our last name."
Or even just their
real
mom.
But that's a single use. This is at most single use tat.
Yeah, I agree. Or real mum. It could still be real mum. Because, I mean, you and I know
or
people.
Real mum out of wedlock. But I've...
Yeah.
I've counted that out. I can't imagine a domestic situation.
You've got that Forest Hill couple in your head too much.
Yeah, I can't get them out of there. They live rent-free in my Forest Hill flat of a head.
I know. I know a few people that would fit this. But you're right about single use with, like, the mum is, you know, prodding a four-year-old in the back. Go on. Show him the sign.
Yes.
Quickly.
Yes.
Put on your saddest eyes. And show
it's
your...
It's like a scene from a fucking Richard Curtis movie is what I'm imagining.
Yeah. It's exactly like a scene from a Richard Curtis movie in that it is surface level touching. And the more you go back and rewatch it, the more worrying things you can sort of pluck out from...
Yeah, the more sinister it reveals itself to be.
Yeah. Oh, well, I suppose it was 2003. Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
Well, Phil, did you see I got a custom Kit Kat on Instagram?
No. Dung?
I didn't actually get a custom Kit Kat, to be fair. Oh. But I did stay in a hotel where they had a little label printed that made it look like they'd got my name on a Kit Kat.
Oh, I love that sort of thing.
It was great. And you know what else is on my name, on a piece of paper with my name on, Phil? Is my book that's available to pre-order.
Yes, it is.
My book.
It's here. It's real. It's coming. For you.
It's coming for you.
Pre-order Pierre's book to get it up them charts.
Yes, please. Help us hack the charts by pre-ordering the book. A few people asking me questions about, like, oh, can I get it? I'm in Australia, New Zealand, Canada. We know we have a lot of lovely listeners, America as well. If it's hardback, I think you might be forced to, like, order it, but from the UK. So the shipping will be quite annoying. So ebook might be the best bet. Audiobooks available as well. I will be reading the audiobook. And also, I'm doing my show, if you missed the sold-out Soho Theatre run, the next and maybe last ever outing for that show in London is the Bloomsbury Theatre, 22nd of June. So please come to that.
Which some of you might remember from the Christmas Bud Pod Live.
Yes.
That's where we did Christmas Bud Pod Live.
Exactly. Exactly so. Well,
but great room, great venue.
Now it's time to go to the VIP Richard Curtis film.
Oh, no. Oh, okay. Of the bonus pod. Uh-huh. All right. We'll see patrons there and non-patrons back here in a week, I suppose.
In a week.
But much love to you all. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye.